Well, hello and welcome back to Searching Inward, a podcast brought to you by Restore Small Groups here in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm so excited today because we have an amazing, good friend on today for another participant interview. The amazing Beth is here. Beth, say hello to our listeners.
Hello, everyone. Hello, podcast world.
Oh, man. I'm so happy you're here. You walked into the office where we were recording from, and I saw you, and I just thought, it's another next level day now that Beth is here.
It's a good day when you get to spend time with Beth Joseph. That's all I'm saying.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Same back to both of you.
yeah. Well, we want to just jump right in with the first question. You know, for anybody listening, could you answer the first question? Just tell us about yourself, a little bit, anything that comes to mind. Tell us about who you are, what you do, some of your favorite things. What makes your heart beat fast?
Oh, I love that question. Well, my name is Beth. I am 30 years old. I'm loving being 30. So far, my 30s are way better than my 20s were. My 20s were rough, like especially the latter half of my 20s. I was done with. I was really ready for my 30s. I have lived here in Nashville for about 3.5 years. Moved here from Virginia for my dream job, and it didn't quite pan out exactly the way I thought it was going to. Only worked for them for about 2 years. But now I am the director of communications at an international anti-trafficking organization. So that keeps me busy, you know, Monday through Friday. It's a joy to get to work with both people here domestically, but also internationally as well, too. And I get to travel for them quite a bit to Southeast Asia, which is really fun. But I'm pretty normal. I love to read. I read all the time. I love to be outside. I go to bed pretty early. 8:30 is about my cutoff. So evening groups, I was so glad that they would end by then so I could get home and go to bed. I don't have social media. Like, I live a pretty quiet, boring, but grounded life for me, and I love it.
Yeah, early bedtime. That's amazing. I love that.
I recognize, too, that I have, like, the ability to do that. I'm single. I don't have anyone else that I'm having to take care of right now. So it's pretty sweet season. I'm a lot to take care of, but right now it's only me.
Hey.
What are you reading right now?
What am I reading right now? I'm reading a handful of different theology books. I finished some fiction books. I'm always within at least 3 to 5 books at a time. And so I always have like a long list as well, too, that I want to get to. And about twice a year, I do like a purge in my library, but that's really only because I want to buy more books. So I live here in West Nashville. And if anyone's in the Nashville area, you know about McKay's. And so just about every 6 months, I drop off a bunch of books there so that I can buy a bunch more. I try to keep a smaller library so that I can go everywhere. But I have friends that would say I don't have a small library at all. And I've seen Seth's library, and mine does not compare to his, but I wish it did.
Seth's library rivals the Library of Congress, let's be honest.
No.
Yes, and Beth says that she only takes care of herself, but I think that's not true full disclosure. I know that Beth on the reg takes care of lots of wonderful furry friends for people.
Yes, my friends every single week are, where's Beth laying her head this week? I'm always all over the city doing some sort of dog sitting, so I'm actually at home right now, but Friday starts somewhere else, so you never know. Always all over the city.
Well, thanks for giving us just a little bit of color around who you are. Like, that's just such a small sliver. I wish everybody listening had the opportunity to just do life with you, because you're just one of my favorite people, hands down. Beth is wonderful. But I would love for you to share with our listeners, like, what is it that drew you into joining a Restore small group?
Well, I'm very excited to answer this because the person that I'm looking at on the screen is the reason I did it, the one and only Seth Abram. He came to me, he was my pastor at the time, and came to me and said, Beth, I just did this thing, this group. The only way for you to really know what it is if you do it, but at the same time, too, I can always remember the thing you told me, Seth. You said, I finally felt seen. as an adult. Mm-hmm. And I was sold. Yeah. I was like, I have spent my whole entire life not feeling seen by other people, which, you know, is difficult to say because you don't want to say that to offend anyone who's within your community. But I just had always really felt like I was fostering a space around me for other people to be seen, but not necessarily be seen myself. And so when Seth told me, hey, you want to do this group? I said, okay, I'll do whatever Seth recommends. So,
well, that's very trusting of you. I know there wasn't like, wasn't just a random recommendation. You know, we'd built some relational equity at that point, but man, I'm so glad. And you've been such a big proponent for us as well. Which I think speaks to the fact that you had a good experience.
Oh, yes.
You've had great experiences.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, another question we wanted to ask was, there's that first night of, I mean, you just alluded to, like, I don't know exactly what I'm getting myself into, but Seth recommended it, and so I'm gonna try it. But how was for you, if you could paint a picture for our listeners, how was the experience of that first night going in with a bunch of strangers, having a little bit of insight of what you were getting yourself into, but not entirely. And then comparatively, what it was like after leaving, maybe having felt more seen as an adult yourself, walking out after 8 weeks.
Yeah. Well, actually, I think I might be on the other end of where people maybe normally answer this question. The idea of a group of full strangers was actually really exciting to me because I was in that particular season. I had just chosen to leave my dream job. I had about 3 to 4 weeks left where I was trying to finish well. Restore groups were starting. And I was actually really desperate for a place that I could go and nobody knew me. And I could just be the fullest version of myself and not have to worry about it. And so I can remember the first week I actually texted Anna because I was running late because at the time I was working south of the city. So I hit all the traffic trying to get up here. And I was probably 10 minutes late to that first group. And I can remember walking in and I knew that there were going to be people that were from my church community, but I, you know, had no idea who would actually be in the room. And I by no means knew anybody in the room. They were all faces that I recognized, but I immediately recognized some people's face recognizing me. And that almost caused me not to go back after the first week because I, at that time, was serving on the teaching team at my church. I served in a lot of different capacities. And I just was like, no, I wanted to go somewhere and not have to be Beth Joseph that teaches at her church, serves in a bunch of different ways, works for a publishing company, is the person people call when, you know, your life has fallen apart and you need someone to pray for you. I mean, I love all of those roles that I get to play in my community, but I was also desperate to just be somewhere where I could grieve, where I could say, I don't know what's going on in life right now. I don't know how I feel about all of it. Where I didn't have to show up and be put together, and I could just kind of come empty and just be. And so that first week when I was like, oh, they're strangers, but they're not. They all go to my same church community. But I was like, I think this is going to work. Like, I think this is going to be worth it. And so I talked myself into going back the second week and never regretted it. And, you know, we talk a lot once you've been around Restore, like week three is such a pinnacle week. Like you dive really deep with some things. But week six was actually the week, I think, for me, where you process and talk about grief, which was what was currently going on in my life. That was the week that I realized these are my people. Like they know me now in a way that even probably people who have known me all 29 years of my life don't know me at all. And they see me and they're okay with me, even with seeing me for as like all the pieces that I shared. And so, yeah, I feel like I'm a little bit different. Like I was so excited for the strangers. And then when they weren't quite strangers, that also ended up being the best case scenario because then I started seeing them outside of group as well too, whether that was in our church community or, you know, grabbing coffee in between. But I mean, from week one to week eight, I feel like those people, even to this day, I don't know, a year and a half later since we had that first group, like they know me better than people who have known me for 10 years. Like I have said things in front of that group of people that I had never said to anyone else or maybe even to myself. And the world didn't fall apart when I said them. Like it was just beautiful. They just held space for it. And I really needed that.
That is such a beautiful picture that you've painted. And man, what a joy it has been to like get a front row seat in that and to be a part of that story, because I remember you walking in that first day and just, you know, being a little frazzled and late and being brave to just walk into a room of people and then to come back again and just slowly let your story unfold with these people. Man, what a gift, what a gift. So obviously there's a big shift between week one and week eight. Can you just contrast that a little bit? Like what it's like walking in and then comparatively walking out, how did you feel at the end of this first? Now, Beth is a repeat customer. She's not done just one group, but she's done several groups with us. And so I wonder if you can just even speak to that, like, okay, walking in week one, you already articulated, hey, I'm not really sure that this is where I want to be. I may or may not come back next week. And then obviously by the end of week eight, you were hungry for more, which you came back for. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, like I said, I feel like once I got over the initial hump of, you know, oh, these are people that know me and maybe have a perception of me because they've been in a community with me where I've, you know, been in a certain position. Once I got over that and was like, I'm just going to show up and be me, and they're going to have to be okay with it, you know, whether or not. And of course they were, because they were showing up and doing the exact same thing as well too. And what I love about what I feel like happened over those 8 weeks are those are probably people that I would have never interacted with, maybe never crossed paths with, probably would have never maybe chosen on like the front end of things to become friends with, because I wouldn't have identified that we had anything in common. But to me, those are always the best friendships when you don't actually have all the same things in common. I think we're all better when we surround ourselves with people who challenge us to look at the world a little bit different. But yeah, from week one to week eight, I mean, I feel like if you've been a part of a Restore small group, you know that week eight is so sacred. To after you've sat with one another through big questions, grief, you know, powerful and radical vulnerability, to say, here's what's going on in my life. Here's the things that I feel like aren't changing, the things that I keep getting hung up on, the places that I'm not 100% proud of or that irritate me or I'm insecure about. Then to let people on that last week affirm you. I mean, I just even during my biannual purge of my library to get more books, out of my Journey of Freedom book fell all of my affirmations from all the times that I've done a Restore small group. And I was reading through them just last week, and there was one of them in particular that I just like sank to my knees weeping, because a year and a half later, it still spoke exactly to like this really tender part of me that on my best days, I'm not believing anymore, but also on my worst days is still a huge challenge. And reading that again and thinking about that person's face, who I probably never would have just interacted with and had them speak into that part of my story, like they knew the exact words that would counter that lie that I've believed my whole entire life. And so from week one to week eight, like you just, it's worth the risk of being vulnerable. It's worth the risk of, you know, what are people going to think? Because everyone else is doing it too, along with you. And so I never regretted in any moment sharing what I did. And there's actually a lot of freedom after you say it out loud. It doesn't feel as powerful anymore. You realize that even someone who doesn't have my same life experience or even my same life story or circumstances is going through the exact same thing, just maybe through a different lens. Having Scott and Anna both like be a part of Journey to Freedom and then Journey of Transformation, just both of you guys as well too, as facilitators speaking into so many different pieces as well too. And it was just neat, I think, for me to just be a part of a group that all of our lives were so different, but they really weren't at the same time. And I will forever be really thankful for it. And I was just getting coffee with someone last week where they had also been through Restore Group. And we both were saying like, man, we miss it. Like, why aren't we in one again right now? You know, like, man, we miss it so much. And it's just special. If I could tell everyone in the world to do it, I would. I'd be like, go for it. It's worth it. It's worth every single bit of riskiness and costliness. It returns so much more on your investment.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, that's such a solid recommendation. But I also am just hearing you talk about, you know, we talked about this concept of being the group playing this kind of role of a divine mirror, right? We all enter into a group, or we are going through our day-to-day lives with these narratives that have been running from our childhood, right? Without us knowing it. Like, we inherit so much of our identity. And some of that is awesome, and some of that is quite limiting. And often it's not until you kind of expose naming some of that stuff out loud that you tell people, this is how I view myself, that then people can respond, like you said, with the affirmations piece in week 8, where you kind of get the choice to receive how someone sees you, especially if it's disconfirming to the story you keep telling yourself. I just love that. I mean, in my mind, the impact that hearing someone say to you has on your heart, it's like you said, it's the exact thing you need to hear, because it's maybe not quite what you believe about yourself.
Yeah. Well, and the beautiful thing is that I think I was finally convinced that I could believe it. Like, if there was 8, 10, however many people in the room that had heard all the stuff and had sat with me long enough, then they were saying back to me that it was actually different. I actually was like, I think I can believe this, because they'd tell me if it wasn't. Like, they've been sitting in this with me, and I trust their perspective on this because they've shared from their own lens what life looks like for them. And so it was, I think it finally gave me the courage and permission to believe it, because I had done like loads of therapy and like, I've been in like faith communities my whole entire life, and my faith and my own spiritual formation is so important to me, and it's all contributed to like a more whole, like healed life. But there was something about Restore, and particularly about the group, that really did just open. Finally, it felt like this block that wasn't, I mean, like I said, I knew the things that I was believing about myself probably wasn't true. But then when Anna looked across the room at me and told me, no, this is what I see in you, I believed it, because Anna was going to be honest with me, and she'd sat with me through all of it. And so, yeah, I tell people like, keep going back. It's worth it to get to week 8. Like, you're not going to want to miss week 8.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man, I love that. Because that is some of the magic of the process, right? Where you're able to, we create this safe environment where you can name the painful parts of your life, the struggles, the issues, and you're still accepted, like you alluded to earlier. You're still okay in the eyes of everyone. There's non-judgment that fills the room. And because of that, it's building trust between you, so that by week 8, when somebody says something about you, you can even more deeply know that's true, because they know all the stuff too.
Yeah.
You know, and in spite of that, because of that, they can still speak truth about you.
Yeah.
And it's more believable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it was just really good for me as well too. I had spent so much of my life up until that point kind of having to be on, and whether that was through different positions in which I was leading or people were, you know, expecting things from me. I had just, again, had to be that for everyone else, but not necessarily have that for myself. And what Restore afforded to me, both through Journey to Freedom and Journey of Transformation, was the permission to go backwards and to let other people bear witness to what was really heavy and hard in my life. And I mean, it makes me tear up now. I just hadn't had that yet in my life. And it was so sacred and healing to have people not try to fix me, not even offer even like quick, you know, affirmation, but instead just say, I'm really sorry and thanks for sharing. It's what I needed. I hadn't had anyone really bear witness to a lot of my grief. And I don't think I even realized how much grief I had until doing this. And yeah, it all then contributes to then at the end when someone can affirm you, you're going to believe them because they sat with you in it and they'll be honest with you and they know what to say because they've seen it all.
Yeah. For sure. That's really beautiful. To the degree that you're comfortable with, would you be up for sharing maybe one or two things that you uncovered in group that you learned about yourself and maybe grew in because of the circle?
Yeah. So I feel like through every single group I've done, especially by the time I did like my third group, I was like, man, all the same things keep coming back up. But it was a really beautiful thing for me to realize they weren't coming up to the same degree anymore. Like by the second time I did Journey of Transformation, and I was, you know, co-facilitating it with Scott, but he was mainly doing most of the work and I was just getting to participate along the way with a really wonderful group. But, you know, so much of what I uncovered the first time that I did Journey to Freedom that wasn't 100% a surprise because, like I said, I'd done a lot of therapy and done a lot of other things, but I can remember Scott asking one of the weeks, what is the most pervasive lie that you've believed your entire life? Like the one thing that just keeps coming back, it feels like it won't let go. And I was kind of sitting like about midway through from where he was. So like when Scott leads a group, the person to his right always goes first or something like that. So I was like, okay, I've got a second until it gets to me. And you know, you've got that moment of like, am I gonna actually be honest? Am I gonna offer one of the ones that doesn't feel as vulnerable? And so I remember when it got around to me, I thought, I have no idea how I'm going to say this without crying. And I was like, man, the thing that I've always believed about myself is that I'm too much. That's what I've been told my whole entire life, is that, like, fill in that whatever with I'm too loud, I'm too opinionated, I'm too emotional, I'm, you know, all these different things. I was like, I've never quite fit within the boxes or parameters that it seems like most people have wanted. Obviously, a lot of that started with my family of origin, but then continued on. And it was such, I'd worked through that in therapy. I'd worked through that in my own spiritual formation as well, too. But getting to do that in a group and talk specifically about why I believed I was too much and the things that had contributed to that, and then let those people affirm that I was just enough, that I was, I mean, I can remember after my first 8 weeks of Journey to Freedom, Anna's affirmation, she looked me right in the eye and said, you're just the right amount, Beth. You're not too much. You're not too little. You're just the right amount. And that just was like huge to me. It seems so simple saying it now, but it gave me permission to finally just start showing up as me. And then I started seeing in all the other parts of my life, I can remember getting coffee with someone who was in my church at the time who hadn't done Restore, didn't know about all the things that was going on with me. I was sharing some different pieces and they looked at me and said, I feel like I've been watching you over the last year of your life shrink backwards. I had no idea you were believing this. If I would have known, I would have told you. I've noticed that you haven't been showing up as the fullest version of yourself. And I'm really sad about that. I want you to do that. And so it just, the group gave me the space to just not believe that and realize that I'm not going to be everyone's cup of tea. I am going to probably be too loud sometimes, too opinionated. not to go too deeply in it, but like being a woman who has been in like faith communities and faith spaces. And then I worked in a faith-based publishing world and did the whole seminary and divinity school route. Like I've spent my whole entire life as a woman fighting for a seat at the table with a lot of these things. And to finally realize I can just be me. Like I don't have to be this like muted, toned down version. I need to just be me, who I was created to be. And if it's not for everyone, it's not an excuse to be unhealthy by any means, but it's okay if it doesn't land with everyone. And so that's like the big overarching thing. I feel like that each of the groups that I've done, and it's been good to remember, like that's going to continue to bubble up, but Restore and other things have given me tools of how I work with that now. And I go back to things like those affirmations or I go to my people who they know that and they're going to speak back in of like, you're believing a lie again. This isn't true. Like, you know what is actually true and go after that instead.
So beautiful. I love every bit of that. And I love every bit of you. I think you know that. Okay. So as just a little wrap up, can you just give like one pitch? What would you say to somebody who's thinking about diving into a Restore group? What would you recommend to them?
Man, I think I'd do it the exact same way that Seth did it to me and say, I think you actually want to be seen. And are you seen anywhere in your life right now? And if you're not, I can guarantee that Restore, a small group, will give you the space and the permission to be seen. And I think the older I get, I realize most of us don't feel seen by our families, by our friends, by our workplace. I mean, whatever. We all feel like we're probably sometimes these like fragmented versions of ourselves. Maybe this group sees me in this particular way, this group sees me in this other way. But Restore was just, for me, a beautiful space where I felt like everyone finally saw me for all of me. And like I said earlier, like the world didn't fall apart. Like it was okay. And I think that's what I would tell someone is, I think you want to be seen. So why not do it? It's worth it. If you're scared, go back the second week. If it feels unsafe, you know, process through that, you know, make sure you're in a safe space, but it's worth it to be seen.
Thanks, Beth.
Yeah. Well, we are to the point in the conversation where we're going to get even crazier. We're going to have some fun and ask you just some quick questions off the top of your head. What comes to mind? It'll just be a little bit of a fun exercise we can do together. So, Anna, you want to start us off?
Beth, could you please tell us your weekend plans in your best Valley Girl voice?
Oh. I don't even, what's this weekend? I'm like, is it Wednesday today? I don't know. I will be reading. I don't know. That's what I do every weekend. And taking care of a dog. But yeah. I'll be with an old dying greyhound this weekend, and it's not in a Valley Girl voice. I've only been to California one time in my life, and it was in the LA airport for a really, really long day, and I didn't fit the vibe, so.
Okay, well, call LA Mike and ask him to give you some tutelage on your Valley Girl impression. Thank you for sharing.
Next question. Is there a place in the entire world that you want most to travel?
Oh, man. Well, I have a dream of going to all the continents at one point. I've hit quite a few of them. For work, I get to go to Southeast Asia quite a bit. And I've realized that that's my favorite part of the world. And so I'm just dying to like explore even more there. So I've been to quite a few of the countries, but the next one that I'm wanting to go to is Vietnam. So that's where I'm most dying to go to right now.
Fabulous. All right. Climb a mountain or jump out of a plane?
Jump out of a plane.
Brave.
What is your most ideal outside temperature?
80. I'm a summer girl.
Handlebar mustaches? Yay or nay?
No. other people, sure. Not for me.
Is double dipping at a party ever acceptable?
Oh, I feel like you have to be okay with it being acceptable because everyone's doing it secretly when everyone's not looking. So, sure. Yeah. I'm not a germaphobe, so I'm fine.
Love it. Okay. My last one is going to be, what's your go-to comfort food?
Chips and salsa.
Nice.
But probably chips and guacamole. I make guacamole multiple times a week. It's my dinner some nights of the week.
It's so right and so delicious.
Yeah. All right, last question of the speed round. What is one song that when it comes on the radio or whatever, when it comes on, you have to sing out loud along to?
Oh. I'm a big 80s. I love the 80s. Like, all music in the 80s. Anything Michael Jackson, I'm singing along to. And dancing, which I'm not great at that, or singing. But anything nice. Michael Jackson.
Yep.
I love it. Oh, friend, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy week and spending some time with us and sharing so candidly with our listeners just about your experience with us here at Restore. We're grateful for your life. We are grateful for all the good that you're putting out in the world. And thanks so much for just sharing with us about your time here.
Thank you, guys. This was so fun.
Hey, it's Seth. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Searching Inward podcast. If you've enjoyed listening or have benefited in any way from the podcast, we would love for you to come alongside and join us in the mission to bring hope and healing to the world. By considering becoming a monthly giver of even $5, you're making a huge impact in the ways that we are able to serve. So please consider giving by going to restoresmallgroups.org/donate. Thanks.